This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kathleen, I am not alone in having a shaving situation where you're like, I'm going to quickly shave. And then 30 seconds later, you are frantically searching for the gauze and the antiseptic while you're trying to stand in the shower and not bleed all over your bathroom floor.
Yes, I've been there. It's a tough situation, but that's why we love partnering with Athena Club, because Athena Club is the razor kit that will save your shaving woes.
Yeah, Athena Club's razor is designed with built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn while being gentle on curves like your knees, because your knees need to be shaven too and you don't want to cut them all up.
Or sometimes your toes or your mustache. You don't want to cut those areas up either.
No! The razor blade is surrounded by a water-activated serum with shea butter and hyaluronic acid, which is, you know, a holy grail for skincare. And the best part? Their razor kit is only $9 and it comes with 2 blade heads, a magnetic hook for shower storage, and your choice of handle color.
Yes, they have 6 color options, and you know how happy that makes me. I love good color options. It doesn't matter what product I'm choosing.
I have blue, but I want to get another one because they also have black and white, and I do love black.
Their Cloud Shave Foam is also one of the best shaving creams I've ever used in my life, and now it feels like I haven't really shaved properly unless I use it. I just love it so much.
So try out Athena Club. Show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today, and you'll get 20% off your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com with the promo code TASTE for 20% off.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your nap-taking, coffee creamer overusing, I think there's a spirit in my house friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your picking colors for my cabinets. The running store guy filmed my ankles while I was on the treadmill. Matzo ball soup heals my soul like no other soup friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what is your topic this week?
This week, I am talking about the lies that people tell in relationships.
Ooh, the big ones or the small ones?
Big and small. And I have to tell you, this is based on a real post in the Acquired Taste Facebook fan group. Somebody caught their boyfriend in a huge, huge lie. And I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Oh, I love this. Okay. And I am talking about this story that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. It's not terribly long ago. It happened in 2016.
Huh.
It's the story of the Tromp family. T-R-O-M-P.
Oh, yes. Thank you for the clarification.
Of course. Have you heard of the story?
No, I haven't.
It's out of Australia.
Uh-huh.
The story is about this family who all of a sudden got in their car and drove away.
What?
And I wanted to do something Christmassy, but this is not Christmassy, but I am going to make it Christmassy in a very fun way. So that is what I'm doing.
Ooh, exciting.
But I want to talk about why I think there's something living in my house. I would love to be in a haunted house. However, I actually think something's going on, because recently I've been hearing noises coming from like the bathroom area of my apartment when no one else is around.
Yeah.
Like intermittent tappings. No one lives. Like there's people downstairs, but they never tap on their ceiling.
Okay.
There's nothing outside. It's internal tapping. It sounds like it's in the room, not in the walls. And then just before we were about to record, I have this giant bottle of green tea or of black tea sitting on the table.
Yeah.
And I heard the cap, the screw cap, intermittently just tapping.
Huh?
And I thought, I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I just tied it on, I screwed it on tightly and it was fine. So something was making it like.
Yeah. Wait, put it closer to the microphone. Let me hear. Huh. What? Okay.
Until I screwed the lid on tightly and then it was fine.
That happened to me the other day where there's this tiny little noise and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And you know, you do that thing where you walk around and you put your ear close to everything in the room and you're like, where is that noise coming from?
What
like,
is it?
Like a crazy. Yeah. It was, there was like a gas being let out of a bottle that I had it, the cap wasn't on tight enough. So
I bet that was it.
You have squirrels or raccoons in your roof, in your walls.
I definitely have mice.
Mm-hmm.
But the tapping doesn't sound like that. Okay, so that explains the tea because I definitely had just shaken the tea up.
Yeah.
But the tapping sounds, it doesn't sound like it's in the wall though. It sounds like it's something in the bathroom is standing in the bathroom and like tapping on like the sink or tapping on. What?
I think your imagination is getting the best of you, and there's probably some critters hanging out inside the walls in your building. Maybe even those critters are like munching on some wires or something, or like, you know, doing some acrobat stuff on the pipes.
You know what? You, Kathleen, are the person in the horror movie that drives me nuts because the thing is actually happening, and you're the person going, you have a history of mental health problems. I'm not going to believe you.
And then you?
It takes the whole movie for you to finally come to terms.
Did you watch that thing on Hulu this weekend that I texted you and Dennis that you need to watch, Only Murders in the Building?
No, but I've heard so many people say it's good. It's definitely on the list of things to watch.
Bethany, even if you don't like the storyline, you have to keep watching because the decor, holy Moses, Bethany, sconces and wallpaper and pictures. It is whomever did, what's the name of the person who does like background decor? It's not cinematography.
It's like the art director.
Oh my goodness. The art director deserves 10,000 awards, but it is a really good show. And I will say Selena Gomez is a better actress than she is a singer.
I like her voice.
I think she has a fine voice.
Like she's not Ariana Grande, but she's good at what she does.
she's so good in this on Hulu. The Only Murders in the Building. It's fabulous.
Fabulous. Okay, so you said that you also saw the movie Spencer over the weekend, the Kristen Stewart
movie,
Princess Diana film.
My new favorite Christmas movie.
Is Spencer?
Is Spencer.
Didn't you say it's just about bulimia?
Okay. It's an art house film.
Yeah.
And Kristen Stewart, even Neil, who hates Kristen Stewart with a passion.
Why?
I don't know. I think she's an amazing actor. Neil thinks that she plays the same character in every movie. But
a lot of actors do that.
It's about Princess Diana, and it's about the first Christmas where she separated from Prince Charles, where they had to spend it with the Queen because they weren't officially divorced, but they were not together.
Oh.
The movie only is over the course of 3 days. Like the day before Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the day after Christmas Day, like something like that.
Yeah.
And I felt so deep. As somebody with an eating disorder and recovering specifically from 20 years of bulimia, I felt so deeply with Kristen Stewart in this movie. So if you're suffering from an eating disorder and it might be a trigger for you to watch somebody who's also suffering, I don't recommend this film, but I've never seen an eating disorder captured on film so accurately. Kristen Stewart's emotions as Princess Diana, they're tangible.
Yeah.
I was so touched by this film. It's insane. It's so good.
Yeah, she's getting nothing but just accolades for this. They say she's probably going to be nominated for every award.
Yeah. It was worth the $19.99 that I spent on it. It was so good. I didn't even ask my friends who came over to watch it with me to Venmo me.
I'm glad that you warned that it is about an eating disorder, though. I probably won't be able to watch it for that reason, but I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that she did it. I love her as an actress. I think she's really good.
Yeah.
And I like that she's now a little bit more able to be who she is than, you know, when she was like dating Robert Pattinson and really very happy.
Did you watch or read anything good this weekend?
We watched this wonderful, quiet, creepy movie called The Strings.
Huh.
And it stars this musician. Her name is, I believe, Tegan Johnston. They clearly shot it during quarantine because there's almost no one in it.
Yeah.
It's about this woman who packs up everything and drives to her aunt's house out in the middle of like nowhere Canada.
Yeah.
And she's staying there and you find out she's left her boyfriend and she's left her band and she's sort of doing this solo thing and trying to figure out what she's doing and she's trying to write music and you see the process of her writing music. Her voice is amazing. But in the meantime, there's someone or something in her house.
Of course.
And it's so slow. But not boring.
Yeah.
The majority of the film is just her doing her life. Like, you know, looking around the house at what has changed since she last saw it.
Yeah.
You know, like putting her 5 different keyboards together, you know, walking around and being on the beach. And you just can't take your eyes off of her. And it's so good. If you like The Black Coat's Daughter, which is also like a winter, cold, dark, slow, kind of creepy burn.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's called The Strings. And I really liked it.
So I also spent a lot of time on that app that advertises on our podcast. And I'm not Dipsy, not the audio erotica app, though that is a good time.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on Scribd.
Oh, yeah.
I got through 2 books this weekend because I was listening on 1.5 times the speed.
Doesn't it stress you out?
No, but listening to it at regular pace now, I'm like, ugh, why is this reader so slow? Like my ear just has trained. I've trained my ear. But I read one of the best books that I have read in a very long time. It's called The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Okay.
I cannot recommend this book enough. Gentle listener, like this is not an ad for Scribd, but I've been flying through books on Scribd and The Tattooist of Auschwitz is one of the most touching stories that I have read slash listened to in a very long time.
What's it about?
It's based on a true story. This man who becomes the tattooist of Auschwitz.
The one
Auschwitz.
Who like puts the numbers
the
on
numbers.
Them?
The numbers. Yeah. And him as a person and what he had to do to survive. And just what it's like meeting all the people that he has to tattoo numbers on. And how he kind of got special treatment because he had this special job. And it's a really touching and amazing story.
You really do some light reading during the holiday season.
You know what? You know what, Bethany? My next one is going to be, I don't know, like the murder of Santa. Or like something. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to read The Murder of Santa.
Bethany, is there a white lie that you maybe always tell to Dennis that he knows is a white lie? ?
I think the big one is if he asks if I'm tired and I say no, he knows that's a dirty lie because I'm always tired. But I usually say no when he's excited about something or we're about to do something. And I know that it's important for me to be there and present mentally.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I'm tired now, Kathleen. I think it's a problem.
You're always tired. I think maybe you'd need to up your vitamin D and your vitamin
B12. I think I need to also maybe just, I don't know, get out into the world because people say sun is important. And I say, no, it's not.
So today I'm talking about the lies that people tell in relationships. The one that I always tell Neil is, no, I'm not falling asleep. I'm not falling asleep. Don't pause the movie. Don't stop the show.
It's like the SNL sketch with Kim Kardashian where it's all the old ladies at the club and she's just resting her eyes.
Yeah, I'm just resting my eyes. So this is inspired by something really scandalous that happened in the Acquired Taste Facebook fan page. Can I read it to you?
Yes, a scandalo?
Okay. So this bud writes, hello, buds. Wow, what a crazy day it's been. I am in the hospital with my boyfriend. He had a stroke yesterday and it was terrifying to see such a strong person in a vulnerable state. Now for the twist. I met him 2 years ago on Tinder. I was 25 at the time and his profile said 35. I even confirmed his age with him because I had had some matches that had lied about their age. Well, at the hospital, he was giving his information and I find out that this man is 50 years old.
Oh no!
He is 23 years older than me. In my defense, it was very believable that he was 37. He looks young. I am shocked and I don't know how to feel. How would you handle this? What else could he be lying about? I am absolutely going to be here next to him as he recovers. I am just feeling so confused. Any advice? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do people in the chat ask follow-up questions and does she answer them? Because I have some follow-up questions.
Basically, people in the chat group are supportive. They're saying that one person says, I'm married to a man much older than me, so I have no issues with this, that this is a unique situation because if you really love him, you know, stuff like that.
Nope.
Someone also said, like, with a 1,000 red flag emojis, the fact that he lied to you for two years over something that's really huge is a big, big red flag. So what do you think?
Okay, if you really love him, I think that that is why romantic comedies are so dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not the age difference, although that is going to be a struggle more and more as they age, right? When you're in your 50s, your husband is going to be in his 70s.
Yeah.
But the issue is that he lied to her for 2 years. Really love him, that's fine. However, are you willing to overlook that he lied to you for 2 years? And it's not that he was 40 and he said he was 37. How old is he? 50?
He's 50.
He's 50. That's a huge lie.
Yeah.
And I think that he had plenty of time to come forward and tell the truth. It's not like you were married, you were dating for 2 weeks and you found this out. This is a giant betrayal. And yes, you can love someone, absolutely, but also that doesn't mean you don't take betrayals seriously.
And I'm trying to figure out how this guy talked about his life while concealing how old he was.
Yeah, that's enough of a difference that you have to come up with new cultural references that you experienced growing up. Like, this is insidious and wends its way through your entire life.
So when I was, I don't know, probably like 21 years old or 22, Neil and I broke up for a short time, and this sweet old man who used to do the books at the company that I worked for set me up with his friend's son. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, that's nice or whatever. So I'm talking to this guy on the phone for a couple of weeks before we actually meet in person. And he's telling me about his high school creative writing teacher who was smoking in the class. And I'm like, hold the phone, literally. When did you go to high school?
Yes. Because
smoking was not allowed when I was in high school. And turns out that this guy was like probably 17 years older than I was. And we went on one date and the chemistry just wasn't there. I wasn't holding that against him. But it's details like that that come out when you're talking to someone about, I don't know, your life or anything that this guy had to hide.
Yeah, this is the difference between between telling a story where you were a really big fan of Elf growing up and telling the story that you were a really big fan of like Starsky and Hutch growing up. You know, it's like you have to really know what your references are, and then you can slip up and say things like, when we were on the airplane, my dad burned his finger on a cigarette.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Huh? Come again? Like, again? When we were little, we didn't have to wear seatbelts because it wasn't the law yet.
Yeah. Right.
And I wonder how many times this guy had to, I don't know, look up like a most popular song in 1997 to be like, like that was my favorite song that year or something, you know?
And heaven forbid someone want to do your star chart in front of your partner and ask for the year you were born, then you have to lie about it. I am unconcerned about the age difference. I am unconcerned about the level of love they have for each other. I am very concerned about the fact that he lied and then kept lying every single day of their relationship to keep the first lie going.
So you would leave the person no matter what?
Absolutely. You had better give me a really good reason why you kept this going for 2 years. And if it just got out of hand.
Yeah.
Sorry. That you had 2 years is such a long time, Kathleen. What would you do?
I'm coming at this from the perspective of Neil. Because when I came clean about having bulimia, it was a secret that I had kept from him for the duration of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, and I had to work through this with my therapist, he said, I feel like you've been lying to me the entire time that we've been together. Mm-hmm. And I know it's totally different than lying about your age, mm-hmm. But it wasn't like a lie to me. It was something that I wasn't ready to share about myself. That's how it felt to me.
Yeah.
But he felt like it was a lie. And my therapist was like, to him, this is like you had a gambling problem and you held it, like held it in. There's kind of no difference. So I'm willing maybe to give this guy a little bit of leeway. I would probably still leave him, but it's not as black and white for me as it is for you.
I think you're right. I'm thinking about it now in terms of Dennis. And if Dennis said, here's the truth, I would need to know why he told the lie.
Yeah.
And I would need to know how often he had to subsequently lie to my face, you know? And then I would need to have him come completely clear about anything else that he has been holding from me.
Would you demand to see his documents?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I would. because trust has been broken now. And so you cannot get mad at me for demanding more documentation than you normally would because you broke the rules of trust. So I get to ask to see things. Like, did she ever meet his parents? Did they ever be, were they ever like, oh man, it's so exciting having a boy who was born in the 20s. You know, like what, like, what the hell?
I'm imagining that maybe she didn't meet his parents. Like, I don't know. Like, can you imagine, like, mom, dad, quick, I pretend I'm 37. Like, take down all of my school photos because the outfits that I'm wearing are going to give me away. Like, when
because
we come over.
Because they've yellowed over time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I would want to know, and I'm not blaming her, by the way. I'm curious, like, has she met his friends? Has she met his family? Is there a reason, like, if your partner doesn't want you to meet their friends or they don't want you to meet their family, that's also a red flag. It might be because they're an abusive family or it's because you're 50 and they don't want them to tell your partner that you're not 37.
I don't know if I could date somebody who didn't have friends. Could you?
No.
Right?
No.
Like somebody that didn't have anything else going on with anybody else during the weekends.
And I've done that. It's tough.
Really?
Yeah, because now you're their only friend.
Yeah.
And if you have friends, you feel guilty for taking time away to be with other people.
Yeah.
It's tough. Unless, again, there was a catastrophic incident at the gasoline plant in their hometown and everyone they know exploded.
Yeah. So I have to tell you about this other story that happened in 2016 in Australia. There was a guy, his name was Richard Mason. Richard Mason had an ex-wife, Kate Mason. Well, Richard, after he got divorced from his wife, realized that he had this medical condition that made him totally sterile.
Oh, okay.
He couldn't have kids. But him and Kate had three kids together.
Kate.
So he then gets paternity tests, and sure enough, the kids are not his. And so he sued his ex-wife and was awarded with something like nearly $500,000 for the cost of raising these children that weren't his.
Good for him. That's insane.
Crazy. And she's like, no, it had to be you. Like, I wasn't having an affair, but...
Girl, you don't get three miracles in a row from Papa Sterile.
No.
That's, oh my gosh. Like, it's sort of like that moment in a movie where it all comes back and you see like all of the moments in the movie leading up to this. And like he's in the doctor's office and they say, sorry, your swimmers are all dead. And you're like, wait, child one, child two, child three. And then you like flash back to a look she exchanged with your best friend. And you're like, oh no, Doug.
Or a glance that you saw of a text message with her and her coworker.
Yeah. And the glance said, and the text said something like, the kids, they're yours.
I was reading this really funny Reddit chain where people were talking about the white lies that they've told over the years. And someone said, I once told someone at work that my refrigerator didn't work. It was easier than to say, I don't use it because there are roaches. And for whatever reason, now multiple people have found out and they keep asking me if I've gotten a new fridge yet. And now they're recommending me places that sell cheap refrigerators.
I'm not sure I understand.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty sweet lie. And you also, like, get good intel on a new, you know, Frigidaire or a new Smeg.
Oh, Bethany, Smeg. Smegs are so stylish, but they're never big enough.
No, they're tiny. And they're in every episode or of our article of Domino. They want me to get a Smeg, and I can't afford a Smeg.
Bethany, if you like Smegs, Google this right now. Cafe Smart Appliances. My internet friend Kathleen is going to get the white oven with the gold knob. It is...
Ooh.
Unreal gorgeous. All of their cafe.
Oh.
Right? They're beautiful white appliances, white fridge, white coffee maker, white stove with these gold, like light champagne knobs and handles. And oh my God, they're gorgeous.
Gentle listener, you know what this stove looks like, even if you don't know what it looks like. Anytime you go, like if you look on a home decor website and they look at someone's kitchen and that person is very wealthy, yeah, this is what their stove and oven look like. It's like very fancy. The knobs are more special than your and my knobs.
Uh-huh.
The handles are more special. The top somehow looks like it's fragile, but also very strong. Like Lilu Dallas Multipass from The Fifth Element.
And when you open up the fridge, there's this beautiful mirrored gold striped backsplash in the fridge.
Okay.
It's called the GE Cafe Series. Bethany, they also have a matte black series with the same gold knobs.
Well, Kathleen, the great news about this range is that it's only $3,500 with Black Friday pricing.
I don't even know how much stoves cost. It's like something that I don't even know.
It's Kathleen, this is one day when this podcast makes it big, which definitely will happen after 6 years with it not happening. We should get one of those just for our offices.
Mm-hmm. That's how we'll celebrate.
And we'll celebrate. We won't use it, but we'll use it.
I'm about to get caught in the biggest lie of my life when I order it and I tell Neil that it was on sale for only $800.
That's a great transition back to the topic, Kathleen. Broadcast journalism at its finest.
Have you ever had to tell a white lie to break up with somebody?
Not to break up.
Yeah.
I've tried to be honest with breaking up, and usually I'm angry, so it's my only opportunity to be really honest.
Yeah.
But I have told a white lie about why I couldn't go on a date with someone.
Oh, why?
So at my most desperate, I was on a... Kathleen, I'm so embarrassed. This was college, please forgive me.
Okay.
I think I was on Craigslist, like looking just to hook up.
Yeah, listen, there, no shame, girl. I know someone who met their husband on Craigslist.
And this was like... there weren't really apps. People were like kind of online dating, but like it was a very official, we are online dating, sort of online dating. I just wanted to hook up. By the way, it never happened, so I stayed safe. But I was trolling through and I saw this guy and he just posted a picture of his abs. And I was like, his abs look great. So we started, I think, emailing.
Yeah, that's what you did back then.
Yeah, I think we started emailing and he sent a picture of his face.
Oh, no.
And he had great abs. Now, his face looked... I'm going to try to be really nice. His profile was like a comma.
Oh.
Like a backwards comma. And not his fault. And there didn't appear to be anything... It just looked like he had real bad...
Yeah.
He had real ugly parents.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
I was not attracted to him. And I felt bad and I didn't want to let him down in a mean way. And so I sent him an email back that said, I am so sorry. I just got out of a relationship, which was true. And I said... And you look so much like my ex that it is, I said something like, it is astonishing or something, how much you look like my ex. And it's going to be really, it's going to be tough for me. And that's what I told him, because he just, I can't have the bigger head in the relationship. And his head was small. And then also he just was like, I'm sorry. Am I awful?
No, you're not awful. You're not awful.
He looked like a comma.
Like somebody who's a terrible kisser, you can't tell them to their face that they're a terrible kisser when you're trying to break up with them.
No.
You have to lie. You have to do some sort of gentle version of a lie to not hurt their feelings, because you don't want to crush somebody.
No. And but you also feel bad because it's like, well, should I be giving feedback so that the next person they date will have a better experience and thus set this person up for, you know, to win?
Oh, you know what? You make a good point. Well, there's this post on Reddit by 0_Aurora_Borealis_0. And this person writes, I've been seeing a guy for about 6 dates. We became intimate. I gave it a couple of tries, but the sex isn't good because he stops in the middle of it and asks me random questions like, what would be the most effective way to organize his stuff?
What?
And she's like, what? I really don't want to give him reasons as to why I'm breaking it off. I think it would hurt him and I think he would overanalyze it and it would cause a little bit of drama.
No.
Is a white lie acceptable in this case?
No, you got to tell him. That one shouldn't be hard to tell him. Please stop asking random questions during sex. That one's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Because that's a changeable behavior. It's not like I'm thrown off by your penis being a corkscrew, because that's not something he can change. But like, this is a behavior he can amend.
Okay. So you make a good point. Sometimes if you're breaking up with someone, maybe you, instead of white lying, tell them the truth so they have a better chance in the future.
Yeah. If it's behavior they can change, it's great. But maybe there's someone who wants a corkscrew penis and you don't want this person to be insecure about the corkscrew penis. And so then you white lie it.
Let me give you another situation. What would you do if you found out, if you started catching Dennis in like stupid white lies, like white lies where there was no reason to lie about? Like, did you finish this coffee? And he's like, yeah, I drank it all. But maybe you saw him pour it down the drain. Or like, did you place the order for the groceries yet? And he's like, yes, I did it a couple of hours ago. I don't know why they're not here. And then you slyly look over and he's like quickly doing the order. What would you do if you caught someone in white lies like that all the time?
That I would have to talk to them about straight up. Because some people are just compulsive liars. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out why. Because now, again, I can't trust you if I know I can't trust you. Yeah. I have someone in my life who is a compulsive liar and there's no reason for it. We all know that this person lies and we just don't believe anything they say. And, you know, luckily, like they're not in my life in a way that is a problem. I just know that when they tell a story about how they almost died for the third time, that it's not true. But if you're with that person, you have to be able to rely on them. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, I'm going to straight up say, okay, a couple times now I've noticed that you said you've done something when you haven't done it. Is there something that I should know? Is there a reason? Yeah.
Like, we like you. You're our friend. You don't need to keep lying to us. Like, you have nothing to prove. You don't need to seem better than you are. Like, we like you. Stop lying.
Yeah, stop lying. But there's a reason. And maybe they need to dig into why it is that they cannot tell the truth. It's wild.
I had a roommate in college who was a compulsive liar. It's about the dumbest shit.
And that's what it is. It's never about like big things. It's always just the stupidest things that you're wondering why they lied about it.
It's like vacations that they actually never really took, or like designer clothing that they don't actually really have, stuff like that. And it's silly. But I think to a certain extent, all people in relationships or people who live with others, they do tell white lies from time to time.
Of course.
For example, I didn't touch the thermostat.
Except for now it's 67 degrees, which is the best number of degrees.
No, Bethany, 70 is the best number of degrees.
No, it's too hot.
No, get out of here.
Too hot.
Okay. No, your snoring doesn't bother me.
Yeah. You know, and you don't want to hurt their feelings.
I have no idea where the cookies went.
That's a good one. They're not going to believe it, but it's okay.
I would never watch that TV show without you.
Kathleen, is that one because you watch that TV show without him?
No, I mean, I do it all the time, but I just, you know, and then I pretend like I haven't seen it. I do.
Yep. But it shows us play, doesn't it?
No, because we have different profiles. I'll watch it on a different profile. Yeah.
Smart.
I love your mom's cooking.
Yes, that one you have to tell, and that one you have to tell.
What's a white lie you tell Dennis?
I mean, that I'm not tired. I think that's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Oh, I didn't know that the trash needed to be taken out. I pretend like I don't know all the time.
Yes. And that one's good, too, because there's really no paper trail. So, you know, if you say that you've ordered the groceries and the groceries come in on the slip, it says that they were ordered 10 minutes before they arrived.
Yeah,
that's. But if you say, oh, I had no idea that the, you know, that the dog, you know, was growing a tooth in the middle of its mouth. You could say, like, I didn't know.
Have you ever told Dennis that something he cooked for you was really good when it was really heinous?
This is tough because he edits this podcast.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I literally did.
You know, I'll say this, anytime he's cooked something, the only reason I would not like it is because if there's no seasoning on it, because he eats less salt than I do. So I'll just add more salt. Usually that's what it is. And it's great.
Sure. Wink, you know? Wink. Wink,
wink. Especially because I don't cook, Kathleen. I don't know.
Wink, wink. Wink, wink.
Everything. Sorry. He made delicious food this weekend. All 100% honesty. He's a great cook. I'm grateful. Otherwise, I'd starve.
Wink.
Don't do that. You're going to get me in trouble. Dennis, I love your cooking. Now, Kathleen.
Yeah.
I had wanted this to be a holiday themed topic to get us all in the mood, but this has nothing to do with the holidays. And in fact, it takes place in August. So here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Every once in a while during the story, we're going to take a break for a quick holiday carol. Okay.
Ooh, yay.
And I will have Dennis insert the carol. And in fact, it will be Dennis singing the carol.
Oh, okay? Thank you, dentist.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Police Sergeant Michael Knight from Australia calls this, quote, the most bizarre case in 30 years.
Wow.
This is the story of the Tromp family. On Tuesday, August 30th, an Australian man named Keith Whittaker was driving his Ford F-250 in southeastern Australia when he suddenly felt something kick behind him in his truck. He pulled the car over, and when he did, he discovered a woman in her late 20s lying across the floor of his truck, completely catatonic.
What?
She didn't know her name, and she didn't know where she was.
See, I thought you were going to say that the car behind him bumped him.
Nope.
You know?
There was a woman in his truck with him.
Wow.
So, like this is a movie,
yeah,
let's rewind to one day earlier. Let's have the woman who's sitting in the back pop her head up and go, "Hi, you may wonder how I got here." Rewind.
Like didn't Hillary Duff used to do that a lot? Or Clarissa Explains It All. She used to do that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how this started.
All right. So one day earlier, it's Monday, August 29th of 2016, and we are in Sylvan, Australia. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So the Tromp family, which is 51-year-old Mark, 53-year-old Jacoba, and then their children, 29-year-old Rihanna, 25-year-old Mitchell, and 22-year-old Ella, all jumped into their car and began driving north.
So these are not children. I mean, these are grown-ups.
These are grown-ups. These are their grown children.
Wow.
They all jump in their car and they begin driving. They left behind anything that could have been used to track them. So they left behind their mobile phones, their passports, their credit cards, anything that would prevent them from being off the grid.
Huh.
Now, Mark and Jacoba ran an earth moving business and a berry farm, and all of their kids also worked there 7 days a week.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's a lot.
No.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So the first day of their trip, they apparently drove for 24 hours because they made it to Bathurst, Australia, which is 500 miles away.
Wow.
Mitchell, the middle kid, is the only one who seems to have been like, because he secretly brought his cell phone.
Yeah, he's the smart one.
Yeah. But his parents found out and they made him throw it out the car window about 20 miles into the trip.
Dude, why would you even let them know that you brought it?
I wonder if he was, and we don't know. I wonder if he was texting someone or they caught him maybe trying to call someone or Google something.
Call for help.
Yep.
So did they say what kind of car they were driving? Was it like a three-row van or was it like a sedan?
I think it was a sedan.
Okay. So you can't really hide much in a sedan.
Yeah. I mean, enough space for five people, but probably not a ton of room, which was good because it's not like they were really bringing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in the thirds, like if you have three rows of seats, the person in the back row can hide all sorts of shit.
Yeah, it's true. Including a body.
Yeah.
All right. So Tuesday, August 30th, the next day, around 7 a.m., Mitchell left the family. He's gone. The rest of the Tromp clan headed to the Janolan Caves, which are a little over an hour away from where they were the night before.
Wow.
At this point, Kathleen,
yeah,
Rihanna and Ella decided to steal a car.
Get-
Now we're going to do a holiday song break. Here's Dennis performing Sleigh Ride.
Just hear those sleigh bells ringing, ting, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is calling and friends are calling you who. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
All right, so recap. Mitchell has gone, Mom and Dad Trump and the two girls ended up in the Janolan Caves wherein the two girls stole a car. Cool.
How do you, I would love to know even how you build those skills. Like I would love to just be like, let's steal a car, sissy.
I know. Hard to say. I don't know. Maybe people, I don't know. If you live in Australia, let us know. Do people leave their keys in their car a lot? I don't know. Okay. So now that Rihanna and Ella were separated from their parents, they drove to Goulburn, which is about 2 hours south. And then once they got there, they reported their parents missing.
Huh.
Then they separated.
Huh.
Okay, so now they're both on their own.
Okay.
This is when Keith Whitaker, our boy from the top, found the catatonic lady in his trunk. That was Rihanna.
What?
Trump. In the back of his truck, 29-year-old Rihanna.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Somehow she ended up in his car.
Gotcha.
So instead of doing what I would do and run screaming and abandoning my truck and running into the night, Keith called the police, which is what we call responsible.
Responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Ella, in the meantime, somehow made it all the way back home by Tuesday night, which was a little over 7 hours away to get back home.
How the heck did she get home?
We don't know.
Okay.
When she got back home, she found that police were already at the family house trying to piece together what had happened. Meanwhile, back at the Janolan Caves where we left Mom and Dad,
yeah,
the parents, Mark and Jacoba, drove south to Wangaratta, which is back in the direction of home. Okay, so that's like 6.5 to 7 hours away. So they've gone all the way up north to these caves.
Yeah.
Now they're going back home. Once they got to Wangaratta, they separated. Jacoba, the mom,
yeah,
started driving back north. Mark stayed in Wangaratta.
These people must really love driving.
I think they covered something like over 1,000 miles, something like that overall.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Mark stayed in Wangaratta. Cut two, a young couple is driving down the road around 10 p.m. the next night.
Uh-huh.
Do you know why, Kathleen? I'm going to give you three guesses. Think 2016. What were we all really into in 2016 that involved going outside?
Not having COVID.
That's one, correct. Yeah.
We were into, we were playing that stupid Tamagotchi.
Close.
The Pikachu game.
Yeah, we were all playing Pokemon Go. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
This couple was driving down the highway in the middle of the night in Australia playing Pokemon Go.
Oh, my God.
So they start getting tailgated by someone so close to the point where they said they could not see the car's headlights. It was so close behind them.
Oh, my God.
So they pull over. And then the tailgating car pulls over.
Nope.
And eventually, Kathleen, a man emerges from the car and starts running towards them.
That's when I hit the gas.
Yes, that's what I would do too, but they didn't.
What?
They just sat there. He then suddenly stopped in the middle of the road, stared at them, and then turned, walked into a nearby park, and disappeared.
What the actual F? No, Bethany, no.
So scary.
No.
It is believed that that man was Mark Trump, the dad.
Wow. That's the most amazing way to freak somebody out.
Totally.
Run at them full speed, stop halfway through, and then just make a sharp left.
Uh-huh.
Sharp right and walk into the distance.
Yeah. It's also a good way to get yourself shot. Mm. Here's a holiday song break. This is Dennis performing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
You better not shout. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Now, after Mark Trump, probably if it was him, disappeared into the park, police started looking for him, but they didn't find him. However, a nearby motel was broken into, and they think that Mark was the one who broke into it and stayed at that motel for the night. Wednesday, August 31st, the next day, Mitchell the son came back home. He had taken a train, so now two kids are back home.
What?
Thursday, September 1st, Mitchell appears on Channel 9 alongside the police, pleading for the public's help to find his dad.
Okay. All right.
Is this what? Like, why are you mad?
I feel like this is maybe like a big scheme, like a GoFundMe. Please send money to help find my father.
I promise you it's not a GoFundMe.
Oi, go find my father. Nope, I can't do an Australian.
Are you from Australia?
Nope.
Okay. Meanwhile, Jacoba Trump is still out and about. So she uses public transportation to go from Wangaratta north to Yass, mm-hmm. which is about 4 hours north.
Do you think they have a lot of good brunch places there?
Probably.
And Yass?
Yass. Y-A-S-S. Okay. I actually wrote in my notes, pause for Kathleen's Yass joke.
Get at it. You know me too well, girlfriend.
Okay, so while she was in Yass, she allegedly tried to book a hotel room, but a helpful citizen helped bring her to the hospital. And once she was there, workers recognized her and called the police.
I wonder what kind of medical help she needed other than mental health help.
It seems like it was mental health help. Okay. She seemed like she was in distress.
Okay.
Okay, so now, Saturday, September 3rd, we are 5 days past when this all first started off.
Uh-huh.
Papa Mark was found still in Wangaratta. He was just wandering down the road.
Wow.
Police brought him into the station and gave him a mental health assessment before a relative came and picked him up. So by this point, because it's been 5 days, the media knew what was going on and they were waiting outside the police station. So when Mark came out, he flipped him off.
Naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I would. He later apologized. He felt super embarrassed and he said he was sorry that he flipped them off.
I've never apologized for flipping someone off. Like, no. Fuck off. Fuck off if you want an apology, too.
He's been on the road for 5 days, a part of it with his adult children. You, too, would just hit your breaking point and probably flip off the press.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, naturally.
Okay. So on Sunday, September 4th, the next day, we know where everyone is now.
Okay. Everyone's accounted for.
Yes. Mitchell and Ella, the two youngest, gave the media a quick statement thanking everyone for the help in finding their dad. They didn't say what the hell actually happened, but they seemed confused themselves by the events. And now here's a holiday song break. It's Dennis performing NSYNC's Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
No, absolutely not.
All right, Kathleen, let's talk about the investigation.
Okay.
So when police first showed up at the house to investigate, this was while the family was still gone, the whole house was unlocked, and it was clear that the family had been looking for something before they left. Investigators found multiple piles of documents for each member of the family, and they found the things like their passports and credit cards for everyone in the family. They also thought it was clear that the family had been going through years and years and years of the farm's financial paperwork. And one of the officers said that the piles were super ordered and that it was clear that they were looking for something.
I wonder if they staged it to, well, you said it wasn't a GoFundMe, so never mind. I was going to say if they staged this whole thing to like somehow raise money for the farm.
Okay, so tell me your theories.
Okay.
This is now, people have a lot of theories. Tell me your theories.
So I'm thinking that maybe they staged this whole thing to say that the farm has spiritual properties and they all went a little crazy and then people will want to come visit the farm.
Ooh, that's good.
Or maybe that there are certain hallucinogenic drugs growing somewhere on the farm that they didn't know about and then people would want to come visit the farm.
Kathleen, I'm very impressed. That is one of the theories.
Yeah. I mean, how are they going to make money from this? People want to come see their farm because they've all ended up back at home. It's not like, or maybe someone's going to write a movie about it, in which case they would then make money, something like that.
So the theories don't involve them making money, but one of the theories was what you said, that the family was inadvertently poisoned by environmental toxins on their farm.
Oh.
However, this was ruled out. They didn't find any environmental toxins on the farm.
Huh.
One of the theories was that maybe the mob was involved and was trying to track the family down. Now, this was purely internet speculation.
Yeah.
But people wondered if they were doing money laundering. If because they had their adult children working for them, they could launder money through their wages.
Oh.
Could they, did they somehow, were they being supported by the mob? Did they cross the mob? But this never really bore out with any evidence.
This is why you always have to be suspect of families that are too close. Like, You can't date someone who's too close to their family because it's creepy and it's weird. And if the whole family works for the family business, like there's always something a little funky going on.
A little funky.
Too close. Way too close for comfort.
Okay. Says the woman who spends almost every waking moment at her mother's house.
No, you know, you're right. I see. I see that there's a little bit of irony in my statement.
It's okay. You know what? Your mom's a darling.
Yeah, sometimes.
One of the theories that was posited on BuzzFeed Unsolved, which does a great covering of this. I'll put all my notes in the show notes, obviously.
Yeah.
One person posited that the family themselves got sucked into Pokemon Go and they drove up north to get like the really, really good whatevers you get in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, but they didn't bring their phones.
No, and that's a good point. So yeah. You're right. Okay, Kathleen, here is what probably happened.
Okay.
All right. So a theory posited was the idea of folie à deux. Have you heard of this condition before?
No, I can't say I have, but it sounds like foliage and I like autumn. So tell me more.
Autumn's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So folie à deux, besides being the name of a Fall Out Boy album, is a rare condition. Excuse me. I'm getting real emotional about Fall Out Boy. Is a rare condition where people who are really close to each other suffer from shared delusions. Now, over 90% of cases of folie à deux have been couples, parents and kids, or siblings. Doctors say they don't know who started the delusion, but believed it was clear that the two parents were sort of reinforcing it back and forth to each other.
Uh-huh.
And later studies showed that in the time leading up to the event, Mark and Jacoba had been showing symptoms of worse and worse mental stress. So do you remember when Mitchell did that first thing on Channel 9 where he asked for help finding his dad?
Yeah.
He said he was afraid his dad was, quote, scared that people are after him. He's not in a good state of mind.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Yes. So Mitchell also later said he couldn't give an exact answer why his parents were so paranoid, but he did say that their behavior was really shocking to him. And he said that it was hard to explain what was happening, but he said they were just fearing for their lives and then they decided to flee. And remember, like, he was the only one who kind of seemed like he had his wits about him. He could take a cell phone with him and everything. He said, quote, I just had to go with the family because I wanted to see where they were going. I couldn't leave them. But yeah, it was tough to see your family like that. And I've never seen anyone like it. But the main thing is they're okay now. Everyone is safe. Everyone is well. So we can just go back to being the family again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if you live in a family that's that close, suspect. But if you do, and everybody works together 7 days a week, lives in the same house, also suspect.
Sus.
Yeah. When you're when you have like 17 adult grown children that are living in your house, like there's something weird about that. I don't blame Mitchell for just going along with it because he loves his family. He wants to keep them safe, but he wasn't afflicted with the foliage.
With the foliage of two. All right. So here is ultimately the truth.
Yeah.
In 2017, Rihanna did an interview with Woman's Day where she confirmed that her dad had been suffering a mental breakdown. And she said, in retrospect, it had been coming for a long time. He felt like the family was in danger. And she said she went along with it because she believed her dad's claims that they were indeed in danger. Like, Kathleen, if your mom said to you in a total state of panic, we're being followed, we have to go, would you believe her or would you be like,
I'd be like, did Fox News tell you this, mom?
Okay,
that's what I would say.
I would probably believe my parents because they are not, neither one of my parents is really highly excitable.
Okay.
And so if this happened, I would probably believe them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Rihanna said she believed it all happened due to an accumulation of stress that she said ultimately can make you sick, which it did.
Wow.
The thing is, they don't really talk about this anymore. They're super embarrassed about it. Yeah. And they kind of want to go on with their lives. She said, we're all happy, healthy, and just trying to get back on track again and get over everything that's happened. Yeah. We're all very embarrassed. We didn't want to be famous. That's for famous people. So they've gone on, they've gotten therapy, psychological help. They're still trying to kind of pull apart what happened. It was really traumatizing and scary for them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But ultimately what it looks like it is, was a huge mental breakdown that the family either went along with and believed or went along with to make sure that everyone else was safe, and then decided kind of to bail at certain points throughout the trip. And then everyone luckily safely made it back home.
That's wild. I can't believe that this story isn't more widely known. I've never heard of this.
It's so interesting. So the first time I ever heard about it was on BuzzFeed Unsolved. I'd never heard about it before. I'm so glad that the family's doing well. I'm so glad that they got help. I don't think they have anything to be embarrassed about. That's actually kind of why I'm doing this story, is because I think it's actually kind of cool that they, like, the kids were like, no, I'll go with you. At least initially, and everyone turned out okay.
And
that they're okay. And, you know, and I think that we all have, maybe not to this extreme, but we all have something we've done. Either you have a totally public nervous breakdown, you strip off all your clothes in public and you walk up and down the street yelling about Bitcoin. Or it's more private and your close friends and family see it. But either way, we are all super susceptible to stress. And it shows how much stress can be insidious and lead to just illness in your life. We have to take it seriously.
I will give you one example of one that has happened in my family. My mom and my brother are paranoid about fire starting, so they unplug everything. And it used to not really matter that much to me, but it spread to me. And now I get paranoid about fire starting and I unplug everything before I leave the house.
Absolutely. This is an extreme example of the little cultural things that families take on with each other. And you might not even realize it, but you've probably taken on something that your parents believe, whether or not it's true. Without even really analyzing it.
Of course, we all have in very small degrees. What's one thing you think maybe you've taken on?
I think, obsession with punctuality. In my family, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. I believe in aliens because my dad does. Like, my dad told me when I was really young that he saw a UFO. And so I, too, believe in UFOs because it's like, well, my dad saw it.
Small stuff like that. Doesn't have to be this huge thing. We've all absorbed mental health issues from our families.
Or a belief in UFOs, which I don't think is a mental health issue at all. So, Kathleen, lastly, here's a holiday song break.
Yay!
Please welcome Dennis Callow singing Let It Snow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And if you know a place to go,
Pokemon, go to the polls!
Kathleen, I want to talk to you about this holiday song that I recently came upon.
Oh, I love a good holiday song. Tell me more.
Okay. I like my holiday songs to be upbeat because I don't want to be sad for the holidays, because there are plenty of reasons to be sad for the holidays. I just want to be artificially kept upbeat and happy, okay?
So are you saying that you're not a fan of Christmas shoes?
Kathleen, Christmas shoes can go straight to hell because they know what they're doing. If you haven't listened to Patton Oswalt's stand-up on Christmas shoes, I will link it in the show notes. It's an annual watch for me, and he reflects my feelings exactly. Do you like Christmas shoes?
No, I don't. Does anybody like Christmas shoes? Like, why do they even play that song?
No. So I, this year, have been listening exclusively to a Spotify Victorian holiday music playlist.
Ooh, very on brand.
Yes, which is why I have, for the first time, come across this song.
Okay.
Called Mistletoe Bow. Have you ever heard of Mistletoe Bow?
No, but I did learn that mistletoe actually kills the tree that it grows on. So we're all kissing underneath this poisonous thing.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. So it's a parasite?
It's a murderous herbivore.
Oh, I love a murderous herbivore. Herbivore. Okay, so the Mistletoe Bow is a very old song, but here are the lyrics. I'm not going to read all of them, but Kathleen, this song is a giant freaking bummer, and I don't know why it's a Christmas song. So the first couple stanzas. The mistletoe hung in the castle hall. The holly branch shone on the old oak wall. The baron's retainers were blithe and gay, keeping the Christmas holiday. Great.
Okay. Okay. What's the baron's retainers? Does he need dental work?
I have no idea. And I'm guessing, yes, he's wearing like headgear.
Okay. Okay.
in my mind.
Makes sense.
Okay. So then the next stanza is just about the baron is so proud of his wife or his daughter who's about to get married. Okay. And then the stanzas continue where the bride sick of dancing. I'm weary of dancing now, she cried. Here, tarry a moment. I'll hide. And love will be sure you're the first to trace the clue to my secret hiding place. Okay, so she's at her wedding fete, and yeah. She's gonna hide as a joke.
Okay.
She's like, oh, we're gonna play hide and seek, and I'm gonna hide, and you guys better find me.
Maybe she just has social anxiety, Bethany. I get that. Yeah.
Mayhaps.
Yeah, okay. At her own wedding, though. That's kind of awkward. Mm.
I mean, it's a little bit like the movie Ready or Not, which is kind of fun.
That's true. Okay.
They sought her that night. They sought her next day.
What?
They sought her in vain when a week passed away. In the highest, the lowest, the loneliest spot, young Lovell sought wildly, but found her not.
Oh, my God.
The years passed by, and their brief at last was told as a sorrowful tale long past.
Years!
When Lovell appeared, all the children cried, "See, the old man weeps for his fairy bride."
Oh, my.
Okay? So.
Yeah.
Here's the end of the song.
Oh, God.
At length, an old chest that had long laid hid was found in the castle. They raised the lid. A skeleton form lay moldering there in the bridal wreath of that lady fair. How sad the day when, in sportive jest, she hid from her lord in the old oak chest. It closed with a spring and a dreadful doom, and the bride lay clasped in a living tomb.
Oh my God, Bethany.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas indeed. Nobody even kissed underneath the mistletoe. It was just on the wall.
Yeah, but she, do you get the point of the song?
Yeah.
She hid as a joke in the chest, and then it closed and locked on top of her, and she died alive in the chest.
Yeah, but okay, but then where does the mistletoe come into play? Nobody kisses underneath
it. Oh, the stanza, between each stanza, they sing a mournful, oh, the mistletoe bow.
Yeah, that's really
sad. So it's a real bummer of a song.
That's really fucked up. Like, why is that a Christmas song? Where's Santa? Santa should have found her.
Yeah, Santa should have popped in like the superhero that he is and been like, I'll save you now, and he opens the lid and he brings her back to life with a lover's kiss.
Yes. Yeah.
And and she's raised back up.
Yeah, Santa's standing over her. He's like, my love, here's mistletoe. But then her husband walks in and is like, are you cheating on me with Santa?
Yes. And now it's not a bummer of a song. Now it's a scandal of a song because everyone loves a Christmas scandal.
Yeah. I can't remember the title of the song, but the one where the two lovers, they meet in the supermarket and then they do it in the parking lot in the car.
Is that the one where they, like, haven't seen each other since high school?
Yes. That's my favorite.
Then we
Christmas
go
song.
To the bar and we make out.
It's not really Christmas until there's a little bit of adultery, huh?
So I used to think that I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus was about mommy having an affair and daddy being sad.
Wait, isn't that what it's about?
Uh-uh.
It's about mommy being sad because daddy neglects her?
No, it's about... If you have children listening, maybe turn this down for a second.
Okay.
Especially if you are a Santa Claus house.
Uh-huh.
It's about daddy being dressed as Santa Claus. And so mommy's kissing Santa Claus, but the kid doesn't know that daddy is Santa Claus.
Oh, I don't think I ever picked up on that.
I think that's what it's about.
It's about,
but now again, I'm questioning everything.
Playing. Sexy role playing for the holidays.
There was a couple of songs that I always just assumed were because dad was a victim, and that was one of them. One of them was the song in Mary Poppins where Bert is like, he's talking to the kids because they ran away from home or something, and he's like, you got your mother, you got your father, and your father takes care of your mother, but who takes care of father? No one. And I'm like, oh, no one takes care. Of course someone takes care of father. That's a good marriage.
Society takes care of father, too.
Yes.
So speaking of Spotify, do you know that Netflix teamed up with Spotify to create the Netflix Hub? So basically, there's a hub tied to your favorite Netflix shows and movies where you can listen to the music that was in those shows.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
There's soundtracks to Stranger Things, Squid Game, The Crown, that kind of stuff.
That's one of those ideas that when you come up with it in the boardroom, everyone's like, why haven't we thought of that before?
Yeah.
That's the kind of integration I like.
Yes.
I don't want Alexa to have control over my lingerie drawer like she's eventually going to have. But I do like when my things communicate with each other to give me more of the content I'm here for.
I'm really surprised that other content companies haven't adapted Spotify's end of the year Wrapped, you know, where they tell you how, like, what kind of songs you listen to, what was your number one song. Like, why doesn't Netflix do that? And why doesn't Hulu and Apple Music and stuff like that? I don't get it.
I wonder if it makes more sense for Spotify because you can play your favorite songs over and over, but like you don't watch your favorite movie over and over and over the way you do with music, I think.
I would just like to know how much time my profile specifically spent on Hulu this year.
Would that make you happy or real, real sad?
A little bit of both, maybe.
Because it's like, here's the amount of time you could have spent outside or with friends. It's 472 hours.
Speaking of time that I spend on the couch, I finally did something. It's been, I don't know, give or take 4 years. And I should have done this a long time ago. I marched my ass into the gym that I pay $10 a month to every month, and I haven't been there for quite a long time. And I said, I want to cancel my membership.
How did they take it?
They were like, do you have like a swipe card or something? I was like, nope, definitely don't. And the guy behind the counter, how dare he, Bethany? How dare he? He goes,
what?
Wow, it's been a long time since you've been here.
Wow. You know what? That's the kind of judgment I don't need. Yeah. That's why I'm quitting. Did you say that's why I'm quitting? Because of your attitude.
No, I should have said that. But the truth is that I quit because I got a Peloton that I now don't use.
I'm proud of you for finally doing that. That's one of those things that sits on a very long to-do list and it keeps kind of fading into the background.
Yeah, thanks.
I need to join a gym again because I miss my gym, but I realized that gyms are stupid expensive and the cheap ones aren't close to me.
Why don't
I end up paying $62 a month? Oh.
No, Bethany, that's ridiculous.
That's insane and unconscionable.
Why don't you get that gym that hangs on the wall that you can go to the gym on the wall?
Because I don't want to look at myself while I'm working out. And I'm screwing us if we ever get an endorsement from one of these companies.
Yeah.
But I do not want, I already am super critical of how I look compared to other people who are more in shape. I do not need to look at someone who's super in shape while also literally having my own body laid over the top of theirs, thus showing how much less in shape I am than they are. That is only something for people who already are in shape and like how they look.
We'll never agree to endorse one of those things because neither one of us want to look at ourselves, and also I don't think my walls are strong enough to hold it up. I just don't.
absolutely not. I really do not. And if you have one and you love it, please tell me why you love it. But like, that to me just seems like the epitome of beating yourself up.
If it didn't reflect, I would get the appeal of it. Like, could you put a non-reflective film over it so you didn't have to look at yourself?
Yeah, because even at the gym or at a dance center where there's mirrors everywhere, you don't have to look at the mirror in order to see what's going on, right? You can watch the instructor or you can just use the equipment without necessarily looking at the mirror. But the mirror is where the instruction is. You literally have to watch it.
Yeah.
No, that to me is just so self-punishing.
Torture. There's a reason I don't have a full-length mirror in this house anymore, and it's a good reason.
I have an ankle mirror because, my God, my ankles are cute, but that's all I want to see.
Well, speaking of ankles, I learned that if you go to the running store and you're like, I'm not sure what kind of running shoes I need, they put you on the treadmill with no shoes on. Then they take an iPad and they take video of your ankles so they can tell if your ankles roll in when you run or not. And then they can decide what kind of shoe is good for you.
What do your ankles do?
My ankles are straight up and down.
Oh, Kathleen, well done.
Just like my sexuality.
Straight up and down.
Straight up and down. Okay, Bethany, have you figured out what you learned this week?
I learned a good way to make you feel like you're doing something.
Oh.
So you know how when you make a list of things you need to get done, you put things that are already done on that list so you can cross them off right away?
Yes.
Okay.
Had a good night's sleep, drink coffee, cross it off.
Yeah, exactly. Make a list, cross that off. So I've also started adding my reactions to things onto the list. So for example, I have pet insurance. Mm-hmm. I hate my pet insurance and I don't recommend it. I only have it now because I feel like I'm in it. And now it's like I've put all this money into it. And so now if the cats, heaven forbid, need like extra care, I'll have it.
Yeah.
But I put on my list file claims with this company because they've both been to the vet recently. Uh-huh. And then the next thing I put was yell when this company denies all claims because they always deny all claims. And so then when then that's an easy thing to cross off because I know I'm easily going to be yelling in about 12 hours.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know what? That's actually a good thing.
Yeah. So like clean kitchen. And yeah. Then the next thing you put down is like, work a sweat cleaning kitchen because you know you're going to sweat. And then when you finish, also write like finish cleaning kitchen and then feel good about cleaning kitchen. Those are four things you can all cross off the list.
You know, I think you're onto something about yelling at people who companies that don't take your insurance claim, because there is a monster inside of me when I'm talking to insurance companies that deny my claim. Oh. I would never be this rude or this mean to anybody in my life, but when they don't take a claim that they should, the monster in me comes out.
It comes out. And luckily, for me at least, like this pet insurance, they deny my claims via email. So I'm not yelling at a human. I can just scream at my computer. And the language, God, Kathleen, the language is severe and interesting and creative and exciting. And it does feel good. But again, there goes all my money.
How dare they? How dare they?
How dare they? Have they seen my cats? They're adorable.
Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
You can follow me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson, on Twitter, at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on social media, on Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can send us an electronic mail, and our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also send us snail mail, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
At the end of every podcast, we play your voicemails. You can leave us a message. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. It really does help us get discovered by more people, which is awesome. We would love to hear what you have to say.
Our next live show is December 9th at 1 p.m. We're doing another lunchtime break show. So if you are a Patreon member at patreon.com/acquiredtaste, you can sign up there.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Reagan. I was just listening to a podcast, and Kathleen was talking about that thing where the website might ask you to put something in your cart before it'll tell you the price. Part of that is because they want you to put it in your cart. It's one step closer to buying it. But the real reason they do that is because it's kind of like a loophole for them to be able to sell it below the MSRP, because it's not allowed for businesses to like market something below that. But I guess if you put it in your cart and then you see the price, it's like you're allowed to sell it below the MSRP price. So usually when you see that, you are getting a pretty good deal. Just thought I'd let you know. Talk to you later.
Hey ladies, it's Taste Bud Liana. I was just catching up on the most recent episode, and Kathleen was talking about her TikTok password, and that got me thinking about a weird password that I had once that I actually loved, and I'm pretty sure I can say this because I don't think I'm using this password for anything right now. But so I combined the names of my two favorite authors, Oscar Wilde and Neil Gaiman. So my password for just about everything was Wilde Gaiman, because it sounded like Wild Gay Man, which I just thought was absolutely hysterical. Yeah, that's all I wanted to tell you. And I trust that the Taste Buds won't hack into any of my accounts. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Hi, ladies. My name's Aubrey. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm catching up on the podcast. I just listened to the most recent one, and then I'm going to, you know, go back through, do the whole thing. And I have two things that I wanted to say. So I actually listened to the break-in episode as well as the spooky season episode. So two things. So one is a little spooky thing. My husband is super logical, but he does believe in ghosts. So I thought he might believe me, but he didn't. I bought a used, or I guess secondhand, but handmade witch doll And I put her in a bird cage to like display outside on our front porch. And she is for sure haunted. My husband doesn't believe me, but she's haunted. I swear to God, I had her when I was assembling the bird cage to put around her. I had her inside. And first of all, the house stank the whole time she was in there. And I don't know how she generated so much smell. It was probably in my head, but she's haunted. So we also have two cats and their wet food went bad so quickly while she was in the house. And as soon as I took her out of the house, like I moved her to the garage, I was like, I'm done with this. The food stopped going bad. So I don't know. My husband thinks I'm crazy, but I just thought you guys would enjoy that little spooky story. And she's on our front porch, probably like haunting the front porch or something. I don't know. And the other thing is a little bit scary. It's related to the break-in. So we actually had to install some motion cameras and motion lights in our front yard because we had somebody try to steal the catalytic converter from my Prius in our driveway. And my brother-in-law is a mechanic. So he took one look under there because it was making a weird noise. And he was like, yep, somebody tried to steal your catalytic converter and probably did it overnight and used what's called a cold cutter to rotate like a blade basically around the pipe and try to remove it that way. So probably laid under the car all night. And oh, it was so spooky.
Hi, Bethany, Kathleen. This is Casey Reagan. I was just listening to a podcast and Kathleen was talking about that thing where the website might ask you to put something in your cart before it'll tell you the price. Part of that is because they want you to put it in your cart. That's one step closer to buying it. But the real reason they do that is because it's kind of like a loophole for them to be able to sell it below the MSRP. Because it's not allowed for businesses to like market something below that. But I guess if you put it in your cart and then you see the price, it's like you're allowed to sell it below the MSRP price. So usually when you see that, you are getting a pretty good deal. Just thought I'd let you know. Talk to you later.
Hey ladies, it's your Texas taste bud, Kelsey. I just paused the podcast whenever y'all were talking about the chai latte. Bethany, you instead of doing the pumpkin spice syrup, try it with the brown sugar apple syrup next time. It's almost like an apple pie in a cup. I am going to try out Kathleen's method, though. I have a ton of chai teas at home, so it would be a great way for me to try this. Anyway, love you, ladies. Bye.
Hi, Taste Buds. So this is Taste Bud Marine, and this is actually a two-parter, kind of funny / smart side of me. I will, in response to the last podcast, but what I wanted to talk about was, I'll show the smart side of me first. So what Kathleen was talking about, when you blow on your, close your lips around it, that what that's called is also known as the Valsalva maneuver. As an echo tech, I do that a lot with people to assess their true gradient. What it does is it cuts off incoming blood flow from your like lower half of your body. So if you try it, you blow, or even if you like squeeze your abdominal muscles, like you're going number two, that will like punch your muscles and it'll like stop the flow from coming in from your lower half of the body. So that way we can assess the true velocities that's going through your heart. Now the funny / not so smart part of me, when looking at hurricane names one year, I saw one hurricane named Jaquan, and I was thinking, oh wow, they're really like getting really creative with the hurricane names nowadays. It was Joaquin was the name of the hurricane. I never saw it in writing. I've only heard the name, so I just pronounced it phonetically and just called it Jaquan. So there you go. Fun name for hurricanes. All right, take care, bud. Bye.